you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about God's pattern for good. And I suggested in our last talk that you look back over the past year, think about the hard things that you have come through, and think of them as God's pruning process. My Father is the gardener, and He prunes only in order that you and I may bear fruit. Malcolm Muggeridge said, "Every worthwhile lesson I have ever learned in my life has come out of adversity." Every worthwhile lesson I have ever learned has come out of adversity. I wrote a book called A Path Through Suffering. The reason I wrote it was because I get so many letters from people who are in unimaginable situations of suffering, the sort that I've never experienced and cannot even imagine experiencing. And yet, they want me to give them some comfort. And my answer is almost always something like this: "I've never been through what you've been through. I don't know what you're feeling, but I do know the one who knows. And I know what He has done for me in the darkest valleys, the deepest waters, and the hottest fires." So that's what I put into my book called A Path Through Suffering: the lessons that the Lord had taught me and testimonies from other people who had learned lessons in very different situations. Now, what sort of pressures have you felt this past year? Have you felt pressed beyond measure at times? Here's a poem. The author is unknown. Maybe somebody can tell me who it was. "Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind, till the dark surges roll, pressure by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into knowing no helper but God, pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into liberty where nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things, pressed into tasting the joy of the Lord, pressed into living a Christ life outpoured." The principle of pressure is found in every aspect of natural life. It holds the secret of power. Coal is produced by pressure on an accumulation of dead leaves and vegetation. Coal, which can produce energy that operates factories. Raging torrents wear crevasses and form beautiful waterfalls. The stored reservoirs of water generate huge dynamos and turbines. Life itself depends on pressure. A butterfly can only gain strength to fly when it's allowed to push itself through the walls of its cocoon. Even the minutest seed must burst to bring forth new life. Pressure applied at the right spot can stop the flow of blood from an arterial cut and save a life. Well, those last few sentences were from a little tract written by somebody or other. Another case of author unknown. I'm looking at the leaflet that I have here. Can you praise God for the pressure that you've experienced? Have you been pressed into trusting Him, pressed into leaning on no one but Him? While I was preparing today's talk, my pastor called to share his own comfort at the loss of Van. Now, Van happens to be my dear friend of 45 years. This pastor has not known her for very many years. I think he's known her for about 3 years. But she has now moved to Seattle to take care of her friend, Betty Green, who has Alzheimer's disease. It's a great loss to me. Van and I went to college together. She went to Africa for 13 years, so we didn't see each other, but we wrote. I was in Ecuador for most of those years. Then when she got kicked out by the Sudanese government, she came to Ecuador and spent about 5 months with me, and then we moved back to the States, and she spent the next 6 years with me until I married my second husband, Addison Leach. But we have not been separated from each other by distance for 29 years. So it's a great loss to me. And my pastor was missing Van, and he called me to share the comfort that the Lord had given to him in her leaving. And it was a comfort to me. I have felt that I have, in a sense, the props knocked out, one prop after another. But this makes me learn to lean on Jesus Christ. He is my sufficiency. Is there someone listening to me today who has had a few props knocked out recently? My grace, God says, is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus was crucified in weakness, the Bible says. And one of Jesus' words to his disciples was, "The servant is not greater than his Lord." He can sympathize with our weakness. He understands what it's like. And from having been the creator of the worlds and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, remember, he became a helpless baby. He was a little child. He had to grow up. He had to be subject to authority. He had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered, the Bible says. He didn't learn obedience by the things which he enjoyed. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The servant is not greater than his Lord. I am a servant. Do I have a tough time? Let me ask myself, is it tougher than my Lord had? Never. And then for a story of pressure, let's turn to Daniel, the third chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up an image of gold and commanded that anybody who didn't fall down and worship that image would be thrown into a blazing furnace. Some of you remember this story. And some astrologers came and denounced the Jews, and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" And the three men replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. And get this, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up the three men and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked the advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." And the king approaches the furnace, shouts, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." And they came out of the fire. And all the royal advisors and the governors crowded around them, and they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. No other god can save in this way." I want to remind you, as you look forward to the next year, that the God who preserved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, he did not preserve them from it, remember. He walked with them in it. He will go with you into the next year.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.